Hello and welcome to the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. You are listening to Cards Subject to Change. With me, my tag team partner, the Honorable Nick Bull. I am the Wizard CZ, and we are here talking about all things wrestling. Nick, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Chris. How about yourself?
I'm feeling pretty good. Had a good weekend. That's behind me, unfortunately, going into the work week, but still got talking to you to look forward to, and I'm excited for our topic today, which we will get into. But a lot has happened in the world of wrestling, the world of current wrestling, since we last talked. And as we talked about off air, I think there's a lot we got to touch on before we just get into the meat and potatoes of tonight's episode.
Oh, for sure.
So I think the best place to start, it's a week in the books now, but I got to touch on Monday Night Raw. Drew McIntyre, man, him and Kevin Owens, their match was really good. But what hit me and what I think hit everybody the hardest is where WWE is going to be going from here on out. And that's Drew's promo before the show began. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, but some of the things that he said were just fantastic.
Yeah, there's going to be subtle, slight changes now that Triple H is in control for the departed Vince McMahon. But wrestler is going to be one of those things you're going to hear a lot more of, and that's just going to be the way it's going to be. And Drew McIntyre going out there forefront saying that is kind of one of those things. It's going to be, hey, you know, even though we're still an entertainment company, we're still a wrestling company too, and we're wrestlers, and we're going to use it as much as we can. And it seems that, you know, Michael Cole and Pat McAfee and then the announcers over on Monday nights, they've been using it plenty. So it's a good thing to see. It's a good thing to hear.
Absolutely. And I think Drew said it best. Let's just shut up and freaking wrestle. And honestly, I think that ties a little bit into one of the things we're going to talk about in the world of AEW. Dynamite, start to finish, was a great show. We'll touch on the big things in a minute, but I want to talk to you about what I think is the best match of the week, and that is Bryan Danielson versus Danny Garcia.
Okay.
So 2 out of 3 falls. You don't see that on free TV very often. It's hard to pull off on free TV, especially with the commercial breaks, but I think this was a great wrestling match. There was a lot of story being told in the ring. Garcia's pile driver on the American Dragon. Oh my God, that just looked vicious.
Yeah, there's a lot to unwrap with that match. 2 out of 3 falls match is really hard to do. Like you said, CZ, with the commercial breaks built in and stuff. But you also have Bryan Danielson in it who could, you know, just about make anything work. And you've got the young up-and-comer Daniel Garcia, who, after this match, the fans seem to be behind 100%, which we'll get to in a moment. But I hope this isn't the end with these two. We know that Danielson wins the match 2 out of 3 falls, but theoretically they're both tied at 2 falls and should have one more match. But for a 2 out of 3 falls match on free TV, and you got 2 really good entrants in it, I thought AEW did a really good job with that match on Wednesday night.
Completely out of the park. I love the fact so Garcia is part of the Jericho Appreciation Society.
Yes.
Fact that they are the sports entertainers of AEW, which I want to throw back to Jericho when he first started the Appreciation Society. One of my favorite promos of the year came from Chris Jericho with the "I am a sports entertainer" promo from a few months back. I thought that was masterful, but that's beside the point. At the end of the match, you have the crowd chanting at Garcia, "You're a wrestler." And it throws back to a promo between him and Danielson from the week prior. That just, to me, was like, this is fantastic. Because this is the wrestling, what they call themselves, the wrestling company. You've got the crowd chanting, "You're not a sports entertainer," essentially. Very nice touch for that match.
I totally agree. The ending afterwards, when Jericho comes down to beat on Danielson and Garcia pulls Jericho off of him. The thoughts there. Are we going to get the turn? Do we get it this week at Dynamite, or do we get it at All Out? I don't know. I think Garcia working face is than people expect if he does make the turn. I kind of selfishly hope he stays heel with Jericho, but we know that Jericho's taken off after All Out for touring with Fonzie, so this might be the time now where Jericho's giving the rub to them all on the way out, so when he's gone, they can shine on their own and have their own programs.
So the question there, excuse me, with the build they're doing with the aftermath of that match, is Jericho's match at All Out going to be against Garcia?
That's a good question. The rumor, you know, the rumor mills are always swirling, but before that it was rumored it was going to be Jericho and Bryan Danielson was going to be the blow off, the wrestler versus the sports entertainer at All Out. But it could be Jericho Garcia. It very well could be. I'm interested to see either one. I'd like to see, but I would love to see Garcia and Danielson go again, especially now that they're tied two falls apiece, and in that two out of three falls match left me wanting more.
Oh, absolutely. I am right there with you. Of course, we can't talk about AEW without talking about the elephant in the room there. And that is Punk's return and the big blowout between him and Jon Moxley.
Well, funny you mentioned that. As we record Card Subject to Change podcast here tonight, Chris, I've got the replay of Dynamite up here in the studio, and Punk and Moxley are doing their verbal barrage right now. But yeah, that's the elephant in the room. A lot to sort out there. Are we getting worked as fans and believe that there is a problem, or is there actually a problem backstage where CM Punk and his incredibly large and fragile ego is getting upset about something, and when someone gives it back to him, he throws a bigger fit? I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's a great question. I don't know what to think. If it is a work, they're doing a great job. If it's a shoot, then I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. I'm very surprised and curious about them giving us the title match on free TV next week. I don't know if it is the actual match, if there's going to be some kind of blow off as part of the build to All Out. I'm anxious to see what next week brings, honestly, in this whole scenario.
I know. I hope AEW doesn't do what they did last year, and that was give us Kenny Omega and Christian a month before the pay-per-view on free TV, and then that was the main event at the pay-per-view, Kenny Omega and Christian. We just saw that a month ago. Why would I want to see that again?
And why would you want to pay extra to see that when we just saw it for free?
Now, I tend to lean on the fact I think this match Wednesday night will be barred in controversy, and we're going to see this match possibly again at All Out. I think that could happen. I also think Punk isn't 100%. And then, you know, what better way to come out and to give Moxley, you know, a good rub than by dissing him and then, you know, having him get the pin the next week. I don't know. I'm just as interested as everybody else is Wednesday night. I think this is what's great about wrestling. There's a little bit of real life involved. How much, I don't know. But if you're getting a championship match to unify the titles on free TV, you can't complain. And two, you just got to sit back, relax, and enjoy it.
Like we've said multiple times, you said it, I've said it. Part of the enjoyment of wrestling is the suspension of disbelief. And that's really what you got to do. You got to separate yourselves. Back when you and I were in high school, you know, there wasn't the big rumor mill. There wasn't the internet. It was a surprise what was going to happen every time we tuned in.
Yeah, you heard rumors, but they weren't available to you on the accessibility that we have today. I want to think the internet was just coming into existence as we graduated high school.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Or had been around. So, yeah, wrestling today, totally different from wrestling of 10 years ago, 20, even 30 years ago, due to the advancements in technology. But whatever's going on in AEW backstage between Tony Khan, CM Punk, and Jon Moxley, outside of what we've heard, which isn't much, they've done a pretty good job of keeping it in-house, one. And two, I honestly hope it's a work and they got us all. Hey, you got me. I'd love to get got in the world of wrestling because there just doesn't happen that much anymore.
No, exactly. I felt that way when Karrion Kross made his return. I didn't see that coming. There were rumors earlier in the day that I didn't catch, but I like to be surprised. I like to not know what's coming. It's always pleasant. It always leaves a good feeling in my mind to get that surprise, to get that, hey, you weren't expecting this and we knew it. And it's a big thank you to us as fans.
Oh, yes. Well, for how long has wrestling not been adequate or up to par? And now we've got two companies with proper, I guess, with proper direction. They both want to put the best wrestling show out there now that Triple H is in control. And the winners are going to be us. Each week they're going to be trying to top each other. And the winners are going to be us. And I hope on Wednesday night we're feeling good after that championship match. And if we're feeling bad, well, you're going to know about it because we're planning on Wednesday night to have an immediate reacts after Dynamite, after the championship match between Punk and Moxley. A little cross promotion there, but definitely want to say that we're going to be with you Wednesday night, live at some point after the show to talk about that match. And, you know, one of us, well, we could be happy or we could be pissed, but we'll definitely have it out on Wednesday night.
And if you wanted to, I know we've got this recording right now in the studio we're in, but we do have the possibility, we do have the option. If you feel up to it, we could go live on Twitter and on YouTube, just like live while we're recording with those reacts. So if anybody wanted to tune in, that's up to you. Yeah, I'm fine either way.
Definitely something to think about, but I'm looking forward to Wednesday. I don't want to wish time away, but I'm looking forward to see what they have in store.
I agree. I can't wait. This looks to be an exciting, well, in all honesty, 2 or 3 weeks in wrestling because of everything that's coming up. You've got the Clash at the Castle on the WWE side. You've got All Out coming up, and we're getting close to their go-home episodes. We're 2 weeks away from each of those shows. This is going to be an exciting couple of weeks.
It's going to be a very exciting couple of weeks, and very exciting couple of weeks for me. I am going to All Out, so I am watching all this with bated breath and anxiously awaiting what matches are going to be added to this card.
And I just got the word here, local pizza parlor, Lopez, they are big on showing wrestling. I got word back they are going to be showing All Out that Sunday. So I will be not in attendance in the arena, but I'll be in attendance watching it live on pay-per-view down at Lopez in Davenport, Iowa.
Yeah, dude, I'm looking forward to it, man. It is going to be a great show.
I think that whole weekend is just full of greatness. And we'll get to there's one other thing about that weekend I want to talk about. So we're going to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about SmackDown. There's not a lot on SmackDown I want to cover, but got to give a nod. It's the 1200th episode, which is outstanding. I think kudos to the WWE. Kudos to SmackDown for lasting it out that long. Couple points that I wanted to touch on. Obviously, you've got the women's tag title tournament. Zoe Stark, Nikita Lyons were supposed to compete. They were not in Canada. Zoe Stark is, from what I'm hearing, had a concussion. Nikita Lyons could not get into the country because she is unvaccinated, which I'm glad that they called that audible and put in Toxic Attraction, because if you've been following NXT even loosely for the last year or so, Mandy Rose, Gigi Dolin, and Jane, I can't think of her first name, Toxic Attraction. They have been running the show on NXT. So I think that was the right call.
Oh, for sure. It's definitely the right call. And on top of that, you know, they're the ones that kind of started the storyline by taking the championships and throwing them in the trash, if I'm not mistaken. So it kind of comes full circle. You're going to get that sometimes, CZ, when you have wrestling shows, pay-per-views, whatnot, in other countries. I think that's what we're going to find out, that they were stopped at the border. Virus, or was it for vaccination? We don't know. That also happened with the Usos. The Usos were not on Raw. It was really weird to see Roman in the ring with no Usos with him. So,
no Usos, no Paul Heyman, both just by himself.
Yep.
After as long as they've been running as the Bloodline together, it just felt awkward.
It
Roman
did.
All by himself.
It did. But I think in current days, travel restrictions, stuff like that, or the not travel restrictions, but what the touchy as things are, I can see this coming more and more of a thing in the future.
Yeah, I can agree with that. The last thing that I want to touch on SmackDown, and then we're going to go right in, get hard and heavy with our Mount Rushmore tag teams. That's coming up. So two matches this week really stood out to me, the Garcia-Danielson match and the Fatal 5-Way match for the number one contendership of the Intercontinental title. If you haven't watched it, if you don't watch SmackDown, go back and watch this match. It is worth the price of admission. And I'll tell you what really got me there in Montreal, Canada. Sami Zayn, one of the biggest heels in the company, gets such a huge ovation. And the crowd is so hot for him throughout the entire match.
Yeah, they're so hot for him that when Sheamus, he's getting more pop than Sheamus. And Sheamus is also, you know, we're supposed to be working heel like Zayn. But it's weird to have, you know, Sami Zayn getting more cheers than Sheamus. But definitely in his backyard, home country. And I love the whole thing, how Roman brought him into the locker room. Because he's claimed himself to be an adopted member of the Bloodline. I love that whole spin on it. And like you said, this five-way for the number one contendership, you know, SmackDown, look what happened to them. They slipped and fell, and they got themselves a nice television match. It's probably going to be in the running for WWE television match of the year by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Has to be. It's got to be up there with Reigns and Riddle from earlier this year.
I would say those are the top two from the year that I can think of off the top of my head.
Same with me. That's the two television matches that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. But it was phenomenal. It was a phenomenal match. It was nonstop, and it was one of those things. It was on free TV. It had commercial breaks, but it didn't take anything away from the match.
Not at all. And there were a couple of times where I thought they were actually going to give the match to Sammy. Because he's in his home country, because they were so hot for him. At the end of the day, Sheamus won the match. Probably what needed to happen because of what they're building to at Clash at the Castle, which I think is going to be outstanding. And I want to talk about that before we move on.
That match is going to be the match of the card. I'm already saying it right now. There's what, two or three matches on the card? That match is going to steal the show.
I can agree with that with what I'm seeing right now. Yeah, you've got Roman and Drew. That's going to be a barn burner of a match. But Sheamus versus Gunther, those two are going to hit it out of the park. Here's the other thing.
They're going to beat the crap out of each other for probably 25 minutes.
It's going to be hard-hitting. I would not be surprised to see Sheamus for sure. I would say Sheamus more than Gunther. But do you remember the Royal Rumble where Bryan Danielson's chest was just beat red and bloody?
Yep.
I would not be surprised to see Sheamus walking out in similar condition.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And isn't this the first time the Intercontinental Championship has been defended on pay-per-view since WrestleMania 37?
Yeah, it's been a year and a half since the Intercontinental title, over a year and a half since the IC title seen a pay-per-view. And it's about time. I believe I commented at SummerSlam when we were watching SummerSlam a few weeks ago. Why wasn't the Intercontinental title on the show?
Well, I think because by the time Triple H had already inherited the show, it wasn't on there, and it was just go with it. Here you do. He has his first pay-per-view of his own, and the Intercontinental Championship's on there. And you got to imagine the USA Championship will be on there too after the treatment it's been getting on Monday night. A little background package on the history of it, the wrestlers that have held the title or the belt. I believe belt was one of those words that was banned in the past by Mr. McMahon. But they're definitely showing you some history, some retrospective, putting a little uh, is putting a little name on those titles, give a little recognition, a little respect after they've been, you know, tossed aside for years.
Yeah, I think that is nothing but good things. It's about time, because to me, the Intercontinental for sure has always been the working man's champion. You put it on who's going to be there, who's going to be in the ring, who's going to be putting on the shows and giving you the best matches. Right. And it just hasn't been treated that way in years.
I hope with the new respect for the title, they bring back the classic IC design, because I'm just not digging this IC title. I think it's the ugliest thing imaginable for the belt, and hopefully they do something to make that thing better.
I will give credit for the belt on this. It is much better looking than the 24/7 championship.
That goes without saying.
That is not saying much. But at least it's better looking than one of the other belts they have on their program.
Sure.
Which, sure. I can't believe that belt is still a thing. And
not much longer from what I've been understanding. So let it retire with R-Truth, and let's go on from there.
I agree. And speaking of going on from there, we've got an action-packed show here. Last week at the end of the pod, we played a little WCW back at Halloween Havoc, the spin the wheel, make the deal. We're talking about Mount Rushmore's of wrestling. And when the wheel spun, we landed on a tag team match. And if Teddy Long were here, he would tell us it's with The Undertaker.
Player.
Holla, holla, holla. So you and I talked about this off air. I think it needs to be mentioned. This is probably, when we do these Mount Rushmores, probably going to be the hardest podcasts that we do as far as narrowing down what we're going to talk about, who we're going to talk about. I'll be honest with you. I had one team that I felt solid and felt comfortable with. And then I had about seven other choices for the other four or the other three.
Yeah. I think that's fair and sane. When I put my list together, I had two definites, and the other two were definitely tougher. I based mine on teams that I grew up watching. Okay, I'm not touching on any teams here from the black and white era. Not to say that it's not good. I just not an expert in it. They may be better tag teams, but this is my Mount Rushmore, just like this is CZ's Mount Rushmore.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to argue
about it.
Focused on.
But when you put four spots on something, nobody's going to look at the four that are on. They're going to look at the first few that are off. So regardless, we're going to give you our Mount Rushmores and our honorable mentions. Do you have any other caveats with your tag team qualifications, Chris? CZ? CZ, I'm not sure if you can hear me. I was talking about a couple of my caveats with my teams, teams that I've seen or grew up with. I tried to space mine out. I think there's good tag teams throughout the eras, but I definitely wanted to touch on what I thought were the all-time greats, and that's what decides my Mount Rushmore. CZ, how about you? Thank you. Hello, are you back?
I am. I apologize. Hopefully that wasn't just a bunch of silence. I appreciate you keeping the show going. I was having some technical difficulties on my end, and then the studio just completely crashed on my side. But I am back.
Well, I try to keep them here. I hope they're still here. You guys still there? Okay. I was explaining my caveats with my Mount Rushmore. I wanted it to be teams that I've seen and know. I also kind of wanted to spread it out some because I believe tag team wrestling has been good for a long time.
Yes, yes, yes. I am right with you there. I went with teams that I'm familiar with, teams that I grew up with.
That were tag teams before they really became big single stars if they went on to have singles careers.
I'm with you. I did. I think we were very similar. We didn't talk about our criteria before we went in to making our picks, but people that I grew up with, people who were not in a faction, that was big for me. We're going to talk about factions another time. So tag teams within a faction, didn't want to touch that because they're their own thing within that faction. Really. I'm with you. You said you went across different eras. I did the same thing. And really just, you know, I felt that I didn't want to pick teams that were established stars. Like you've got your two-man power trip, your rated RKO. I wanted to avoid those because I wanted more traditional tag teams.
I agree with you 100%.
And I don't know, should we flip a coin? Do you want to go first? Do you want me to start things off? How do you want to go?
Let's have you start.
All right. Well, I'm going to go big because I think you got to go big or go home. And I'm just going to intro this tag team, how they've been introed from every time they were in the WWE that I remember. And just give it a big, what a rush. That's right. We're talking about the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom. That is my number one on the Mount Rushmore, Nick. And what do you think of that?
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth because I was going to do the what a rush. Yes, the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom, any way you look at them, Hawk and Animal, in my opinion, are the greatest tag team of all time. My Mount Rushmore doesn't have rankings, but if I had to pick one, you know, to put on a team, or to put on a mountain, it's them. And they're going to be the first I put on my Mount Rushmore. Hawk and Animal, what can you say? Made before they even stepped in the WWF.
Oh, yeah.
NWA stars all over the United States. Then in Japan. The accolades can go on and on. But the entrance, the imagery, the face paint, the spikes, the brutality, the big brutes that they were, the dominant tag team that they were, I just the mere mention of Road Warriors and everybody knows what you're talking about.
And I'm going to give a little teaser to next week because we're talking about SummerSlam 92 there, who opened the card. But that's all I'm going to say. We'll get into that next week. But, well, I'll touch on that just a little. I think their entrances, no matter where they're at, have always been spectacular. I agree. The spikes, the pumped up music. SummerSlam 92, they come out on motorcycles. Paul Ellering is with them. The little ventriloquist dummy whose name is escaping me right now.
That's Rocco.
That's right, Rocco. I don't know why I forgot that, but but you got to look at their list of accomplishments. They're tag team champions. Everywhere they go, they touch gold. They were in the first two war games at least. In NWA, everything they touch is gold. And right off the bat, I think you and I both had this pegged. You said they're your number one, they're my number one. I couldn't think of a better way to start the topic than to talk about the Road Warriors and everything they've done.
Yeah, I think when we said, hey, we kind of talked off air during the week, and we were like, what if we have like the same teams? And it's not going to make for that much of a show, you know? And it's like, well, I don't know if we will. And I thought for sure we would have one in common. And this is the one that I thought we would have in common. We may have more, but this was the one that I thought for sure that we would have in common.
I will be honest with you, Nick. This is the team that I debated about, because there was one other team that I thought maybe in place of the Road Warriors. I was kind of on the fence about it. They were not my solid 100% choice. I'm going to just be honest. So
good.
I've got to give honorable mention to Demolition.
Okay.
I think, but at the same time, they were WWE's answer to the Road Warriors. But I think Demolition brought a lot of the same energy and a lot of the same feel in their run in the WWE. I honestly do.
Yeah, no disrespect to Demolition. They are on my honorable mention list as well. I think that you have to look at the time they had such a lengthy reign. Under the tutelage of Mr. Fuji, they were kind of that intimidating team.
Absolutely.
And then as Smash, or excuse me, as Axe, Bill Eady, you know, grew older and, you know, injuries, they would bring in Crush, Brian Adams, and change Demolition from 2 to 3. But in my opinion, the Demolition team of Axe and Smash is definitely one of those all-timers. They did not make my Mount Rushmore. So if you're a Demolition fan and you're listening, they did not make my Mount Rushmore. They do make my honorable mention list.
I'm right there with you. See, you and I are on the same page with that. Not quite up there to make the Mount Rushmore, but definitely deserve an honorable mention. Now, I don't know where you want to go next.
Well, I'll tell you what. We talked about the Road Warriors. We talked about how they were big before they got to WWF. We talked about how they were big in Japan, and, you know, they went on to have success even after they left WWF. They, you know, they went back, they worked in WCW as well. My next team is a team I think is the greatest WWF tag team champions of all time.
Okay.
I'm saying that the Road Warriors weren't. But when I think tag team wrestling and looking back at my youth, I can't think the first thing that pops into my mind, no matter how many times. If it wasn't the Road Warriors, I'm going to go with this team, the Pink and Black Attack of the Hart Foundation.
Yes.
The Hart Foundation, to me, were tag team running on, you know, a tag team machine, if you will. You had Bret Hart, the guy who was more of the quote-unquote aerial guy, the tactician, and then you had Jim the Anvil Neidhart, who was the power and the muscle of the team. Perfect combination. You've got to be a good singles wrestler before you're a good tag team wrestler. I always believe that. And the Hart Foundation boasted possibly one of the greatest wrestlers of all time with Bret the Hitman Hart. Bret Hart was so over as a tag team guy, you know, they had to make him a singles guy. That's how good of a tag team guy he was. I know Hart Foundation probably don't have the most reigns, but I don't have to have the most reigns to get on the Mount Rushmore. These guys are iconic with their look. They're iconic with the music, their moves. They were a well-oiled machine. The Hart Foundation, Bret the Hitman Hart, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart have a spot on my Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely, I love that pick, and I'm gonna be honest with you here. That makes me think of, and I get made fun of by our tribal chief DJ.
Well, that might be your tribal chief.
Fair. the podcast tribal chief. How about that? I get made fun of for this, but a lot of times I will look at a tag team, and I can see this with the Hart Foundation. I will look at a tag team, and I will think, okay, let's compare them to the Rockers. Who's going to be the Marty Jannetty? Who's going to be the Shawn Michaels of the group?
Okay.
And I catch a lot of flack for that. I don't see it with every team, but like the Hart Foundation, can definitely see who's going to be the big star. Coming out of the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart 100% is going to be the Shawn Michaels. And that's not saying anything against Marty Jannetty. That is definitely not saying anything about the late, great Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Fantastic wrestlers in their own right. Didn't quite have the star powers that their partners did. And I will say this about the next team that I'm going to bring up, my number two on the Mount Rushmore. And this was a big debate for me. So we're going back to 90s WCW. And there are two tag teams that stand out in 90s WCW. I took a lot of time debating where I was going to go. And I'm sure you know the two teams without me saying anything. But I've got to give my second slot on my Mount Rushmore to Harlem Heat.
Okay.
So 10-time WCW Tag Team Champions, innovators, pioneers. And obviously the honorable mention has to go to Rick and Scott, the Steiner brothers, on that. So there are parallels between both teams. I feel for the mid to late 90s, both the Steiners and Harlem Heat held the tag team division of WCW and made it great. Those two teams, they were always working together. They were fighting each other. Sometimes they were paired together, but their accomplishments, their accolades, and going back to what I was saying earlier about the who's the star, who's the shining star of the group, and who's kind of laying in the back. Obviously, Booker T went on to great things, and that tag team was what launched him then.
Yeah, Booker T, Stevie Ray, real life brothers. You know, a home like WCW, that's kind of one of their homegrown, wholesome tag teams. And you can't argue Harlem Heat with or without Sensational Sherry. They were a force to be reckoned with, and out of that came Booker T, who went on to have the more successful singles career. But as you were mentioning that, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And who you booted off is the third team on my Mount Rushmore. And that is Rick and Scott Steiner, or as they're really known as Rick and Scott Richtensteiner, the Steiner brothers. They're my tag team. When I think of tag teams in WCW, they're the number one that pop up to me. And I know how Harlem Heat was like that with you, but they're number one that pop up with me.
And it was a hard choice between the two.
I'm not chastising you by any means. They're accomplished collegiate wrestlers. They have a good amateur wrestling background. They were huge NWA and WCW. Huge. The Steiners were over like Rover. I'm not kidding you. People love the Steiners. You had the good-looking Scott Steiner. And then you had the dog-faced gremlin who wore the headgear and barked like a dog, okay? So if you're looking at the Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels of things, I don't want to call Marty Jannetty – I don't want to compare Marty Jannetty to Rick Steiner because Rick Steiner is a better wrestler and lasted longer in the industry. But Scott Steiner was definitely the breakout star of this group, would later have multiple world title runs. But Rick Steiner was the powerhouse, the glue that held this team together. And so my third team on my Mount Rushmore was your Outcast. No, I'm just kidding you. I have Rick and Scott Steiner of the Steiners as my third team on Mount Rushmore.
I think that is a fantastic choice. Like I said, they would have been there. It was a tight race between them and Harlem Heat. I just personally, like you with the Steiners, felt that the Heat stood out a little bit more to me. But I agree. I couldn't agree more. Both of those teams. The sure. Steiners were just fantastic. Everything they did. I mean, I don't know if you heard me while you were going. You were talking about Rick. I did the little dog bark for you. I love their presentation, especially before they broke apart. You know, and you're right. Scott Steiner is definitely the in terms of horses, he's the thoroughbred of the group, and that's not knocking Rick at all. They're both phenomenal wrestlers, and I think you wouldn't have a Harlem Heat who's on my Mount Rushmore without the Steiner brothers. Vice versa, I don't think you would have the Steiner brothers as good as they were without Harlem Heat. Those two teams, if they're not even in consideration for your Mount Rushmore, I'm sorry, you got to reevaluate yourself. That's just my opinion. If that causes controversy, send your hate tweets to @thewizardCZ. I'm all open for it.
So, you have the Road Warriors and Harlem Heat. I have the Road Warriors, the Hart Foundation, and the Steiners. I love to hear who your number three team is.
Okay, so my number three team was even harder, in my opinion, than narrowing it down between the Steiners and Harlem Heat. I have always been and always will be a product of the Attitude Era. That's where my heart will always lie, coming up in wrestling, because it was my favorite time in wrestling. It was my favorite time watching wrestling just all around. And there were three teams that really pioneered the Attitude Era as far as tag team wrestling.
Yep.
Like I said, this was absolutely excruciating, because these teams were brilliant. And I'm going to list them off. I'm not going to tell you which one is on my Mount Rushmore yet, because I'm just going to list them off first. You have the Dudley Boys. You have the Hardy Boys. And you have Edge and Christian. Tables, ladders, and chairs. Anything they touch. Tables, TLC 1 was one of the best matches of the Attitude Era. I don't care who you're looking at in the main event. Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H. They're all phenomenal, great, brilliant. TLC number one, TLC, any TLC match with those three teams is going to be the show stealer, no matter what. And that's what makes it so hard, because of their pioneering. Here's the thing. I like the Dudley Boys. They didn't make it onto the Mount Rushmore. But they probably would have been my second choice, and I hate to say that because I love all three of these teams. My third Mount Rushmore pick is absolutely Edge and Christian. And I think, I will be honest, I think a lot of my decision is clouded by Jeff Hardy and his actions, and I hate to say that because in the ring, he is a master. It is just a brilliant artist at doing what he does. Outside of the ring, I've got to take that into account, because some of the things he does just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. That's me personally. I don't want to discredit his ability in the ring, but I can't justify putting him with his brother on the Mount Rushmore because of it, if that makes sense.
No, hey, that's your prerogative. That's your Mount Rushmore. For TLC, I believe that was what, SummerSlam 2000, that was the first one, and they followed it up with one at WrestleMania. But those three teams definitely had their fingerprints all over the landscape of what was tag team wrestling in the late 90s and early 2000s. I can't discredit the team that you picked with Edge and Christian. At one time, they had the most title reigns as tag team, I think, before New Day took them over.
I think you're right.
I thought long and hard about these three teams. All three of these teams I tossed around a lot, and I didn't put any of these three teams on my Mount Rushmore. They're all honorable mentions for me. That's how tough this was for me. It's like I left out the Dudleys, who are considered the most decorated tag team in pro wrestling, like 23 or 25 championships, regardless of what it is. Those guys are great in their own right. I just don't have any of those three on my Mount Rushmore, but I can make the claim any of those three could be on my Mount Rushmore. But for sure, you have Edge and Christian. I admire that, man. That's a good one.
And what stands out to me the most, I think the reason that tipped Edge and Christian over the edge, no pun intended, is actually because of Edge. I see those three teams and I see those TLC matches. The standout highlight of any of those matches, you've got Jeff Hardy dangling from the title belts in the middle of the ring, and Edge just spears him straight to hell off of the ladder. And I think that's what clinched it for me.
It's iconic. I mean, it's an image that's imprinted in your mind. And hey, that's what that is what you thought of when you think of tag team wrestling and an image that comes to your mind, then for sure, And I'm glad Edge and Christian found a way onto your Mount Rushmore.
So you've got three, I've got three. We're really into it now. We've each got one more. I'll be honest, I'm not sure where yours is going to reside. Mine is a modern tag team. Really took some debate, and this is my 100%, because I think of everything they've accomplished over the last decade. I'm just going to throw it out there. I think the Usos deserve a place on anyone's Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Now, I said I didn't pick anyone in factions. Kind of not exactly. So the Usos are part of the Bloodline.
They're not. No. They were the Usos before the Bloodline. So yeah,
That's why they made it. Right. Their rivalry with the New Day, which I can make an argument for the New Day being on someone's Mount Rushmore of tag teams because they kind of played the Freebird rule, but I look at them more as a faction. That is the only reason the New Day is nowhere on this list.
Okay.
But their rivalries with the New Day, their modern rivalries with the Street Profits, any team that the Usos step in the ring with, just look phenomenal. The Usos do everything they can to make their opponents look better, which in turn I think makes them look better. And I look back even most recently at was it Money in the Bank? They had the tag team match with the controversy at the end against the Street Profits.
Yes, it was Money in the Bank. I thought that was their best match against the Profits. I not to discredit the Usos matches, but I thought that match with the Street Profits at Money in the Bank was above and beyond what they did at SummerSlam.
Yes, I could not agree more. That arguably could be one of the best tag team matches overall in the WWE of the year.
The one from Money in the Bank, absolutely, absolutely.
And I mean, I got to look. I've just pulled up their accolades here. It's not all about the number of title belts you hold, the length of time you hold the title belts. The Usos can tick both of those boxes, but that is not what puts a tag team on the Mount Rushmore. It's how they present themselves, what their matches look like in the ring. And yeah, you've got to take into account their championship history, what they've done to win and elevate the belt. You know, just looking here, they were a one-time tag team championship holder in FCW. They've held WWE gold, main roster gold 8 times, 3 on Raw, 5 times on SmackDown. But like I said, that is not the deciding factor. I think everything they do is just fantastic.
And they're on the run of a career right now. There's no doubt what they've done the past year and a half. It started with Jay when Jimmy was home nursing an injury, and like Jay, you know, got broke down and then built back up by Roman, that whole storyline. So yeah, the Usos have been a big part of the Bloodline and the whole storyline with Roman, and Roman's on the run of his career as well. So the Usos are your fourth team, correct, on your Mount Rushmore?
Absolutely.
Good pick. So you close out with Road Warriors, Harlem Heat, Edge and Christian, and the Usos. I love the fact we only had one team in common. That's what I wanted this to spark with some conversation and a little bit of controversy. I like that we only had one team in common. That's good.
And of the teams we had in common, that was the one I would have picked.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. I thought that would be the one we'd get right, and everything else I thought would be different, to be honest with you.
And it seems like I haven't heard your fourth pick yet, but it seems like that's the direction we're going. We have the one in common, and then we branched off onto our own with each of ours. So I am very excited to hear who you have as your fourth tag team on the Mount Rushmore of tag team wrestling.
It's not going to be a surprise if you know me. I got some biases here. I'm not going to be apologetic about it, but I've got FTR on my Mount Rushmore. What they've done in the last 10 years is phenomenal. I don't know if you'll see another team with the titles that they've won again. I'm no kidding. I got my 7-star FTR shirt on right now, and getting that getting that seventh at the IWGP tag titles this summer at Forbidden Door, to me, put them in another class. I think they're the best tag team running right now. The funny thing is, I don't know if there's a Shawn Michaels or a Marty Jannetty in this match. I think both guys are right there. They are why I love tag team wrestling. Tag team wrestling is my favorite part of pro wrestling. And these guys are why I love tag team wrestling. Double team moves. You know, they use the tag ropes. They've made tag team wrestling great again. Now, listen, I know there's other tag teams out there that have done that. People are going to say, well, why didn't you say the Young Bucks? Young Bucks have done a lot for wrestling, but they're not on my Mount Rushmore because I don't really necessarily think their in-ring work is the greatest. I don't think their timing is great. I don't think their selling is great, and that's why I kept them off. They're honorable mention. I've got them on my honorable mention list. Other teams I had honorable mention were the Briscoes. I had New Day as well. I also had a hard time with the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express. Both those teams, the random incarnations of them, did so much for wrestling in the days of the NWA and early WCW. But I just thought it just didn't have enough Mount Rushmore for me. Another team you mentioned that I had in my honorable mention was the Freebirds. They have done so much for tag team wrestling and wrestling as a whole. But rounding off my Mount Rushmore is Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler, the team of FTR. They're your current AAA, Ring of Honor, and IWGP tag team champions. And, hey, possibly looking to add more belts here in the not-too-distant future.
I think that's a great choice. And I'm going to throw this out there. With Triple H in charge, can we see a forbidden door between WWE and AEW with that tag team dream match of your fourth versus my fourth, the Usos versus FTR?
You're never supposed to say never in wrestling, but that'd be a hard one. That'd be hard to watch those two actually get along and put something together. It'd be great, and I'd love to see that match. And you know, we saw it years ago in WWE, but those teams are both completely different now, and I'd love to see it down the road.
I agree. Before we start talking about next week, we talked about the guy that brought us together, the podcast tribal chief, if you will, Mr. DJ Jarvis. He and I talked off air this week. He did give me a list of his that I just wanted to share. I felt it pertinent. A lot of names that we've mentioned here, one that sure. We didn't. So his Mount Rushmore, we've got the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, the Usos, and this is an interesting pick, I think. And I got to give him some credit. It's a good pick. It's the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, they were. I guess they were the New Age Outlaws. They were before they became DX. They were both kind of fledgling single stars that didn't have much going for them. So, New Age Outlaws. I don't have them written on my list here. They came up on another list of mine. I was like, you know, I like them. Don't get me wrong. I think they have their fingerprints all over the Attitude Era too. It's a good name. That's one I didn't think of in my – I thought of them preliminarily, but they didn't make my cuts going on. But I like that. I like that mention of the New Age Outlaws.
I that's the main reason I brought it up is because it was something that we – it was a team we didn't mention. I think an argument can definitely be made to put them on someone's Mount Rushmore 100%. Just their presentation alone. I mean, you got Road Dogg coming out, doing his thing, you know, oh, you didn't know?
Oh, for sure. They definitely have their fingerprints all over tag team history in the WWE, for sure. I cannot argue the New Age Outlaws. They could definitely be on anyone's Mount Rushmore.
And honestly, there are many teams that we haven't mentioned that could be there. I'm not going to go through and list. There are hundreds of tag teams out there that probably could find their way onto someone's Mount Rushmore of wrestling, tag team wrestling. But I think we both have great lists, a lot of star potential. And honestly, I think the fact that we both have someone from the modern era, from the current era, says a lot about where wrestling is and where it's going.
Oh, for sure. I mean, wrestling is going to be different, you know, over the years, but at the same time, it's the same thing. And what might be good for you this week, you won't like next week. That's what's beautiful about wrestling. But I'm just happy as a fan of tag team wrestling that tag team wrestling is once again being appreciated and brought to the forefront, because I don't know, I'd rather watch a tag team match than a one-on-one match. There's just so many more moving parts, you know. That was always the big draw to me. I loved seeing, you know, 2-on-2 in there and the double team moves and all that stuff. And I just think we're in a great place for tag team wrestling. And I think it's going to get better as we move forward. And the names we mentioned tonight definitely laid the groundwork for it. And I think tag team wrestling is only going to get better as time goes on. CZ, we have rounded out our Mount Rushmores, if you will, for the American Dween. CZ's Mount Rushmore were the Road Warriors, Harlem Heat, Edge and Christian, and the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, and the Honorable Nick Bull. Yours truly, Mount Rushmore, was the Road Warriors, the Hart Foundation, the Steiner Brothers, and FTR, Dax Harwood, and Cash Wheeler. Understand CZ is having some technical difficulties right now, but we're going to do a little house cleaning here as we wrap up this show. You've listened to this show. We talked about the Mount Rushmore of tag teams. Next week, we've got a little feature going on for the upcoming WWF pay-per-view. WWE pay-per-view. The upcoming WWE pay-per-view Clash at the Castle is the first stadium show overseas in England since 1992 in SummerSlam. So myself, the Honorable Nick Bull, and the Wizard CZ will be going back and reviewing the 1992 SummerSlam and taking you through that journey next week on the show. That'll be on the card, Subject to Change podcast. Next week we will be reviewing the 1992 SummerSlam. Of course, before that, Wednesday night we have on Dynamite the interim championship match, or the title unification match, if you will. Interim champion John Moxley takes on AEW world champion CM Punk in a title unification match on AE Dynamite. The Wizard CZ and myself will have a reaction show after Dynamite is over. I'm going to wrap up here for frequency sake, podcast network. This has been the hard Subject to Change show. Oh, are you coming back? I had just promoted the show next week and was doing the sign off. You're back.
I appreciate you keeping it going. I've been having technical difficulties all night. we should try and find a this is kind of where we're at. I don't know that there's really anything else to say. I didn't hear what you said at the end there, but
nope. I plugged next week's show, wrapped it up, and let them know we'll be reviewing 92 SummerSlam next week.
That we will. I'm excited. I don't know if you finished watching it. I've already watched it once through just to kind of gauge the whole show as it is. I'm going to go back. I'm going to make some notes. But yeah, I'm excited. Next week will be a lot of fun. And I don't know if you mentioned this here, but you, Nick Bull, are at Nick Bull 55 on Twitter. Chris Zach, the Wizard CZ on Twitter. The show is at, what's that?
And I don't forget, React Show Wednesday night after Dynamite.
That is true. We will be here after Dynamite. We'll let you know what we thought of the title match. Hopefully neither one of us walk away angry, but we will see what happens.
I think we touched all the bases and crossed off all the our list.
We did indeed, Nick. All right, you have been listening to Card Subject to Change. We will see you Wednesday and again next week. Follow us on the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network And happy wrestling, everybody. Ding, ding, ding.
Bye.